The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Right now, we're getting into, I think, a good discussion with Brandon Scott. He's a Baltimore council member. He's dealing with youth violence in the city of Baltimore. And he recently proposed, I believe, an around-the-clock curfew, or not around-the-clock, around-the-year curfew for young people. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us today on Mornings on the Mall.
Thank you for having me, sir.
So tell me, what are the contours of this? There's a curfew that's active right now in Baltimore, and it's for what times, and it affects whom?
Yeah, so it's actually not new. Actually, 3 years ago, I updated the city's curfew law because it was outdated and antiquated. So,
oh, I see.
Much like D.C. or any other major city, there's a youth curfew. There's always been a youth curfew in Baltimore since they became popular in the 90s. But I felt like this one in Baltimore didn't make sense. For example, there was no difference in the nighttime curfew for young people during the school months in or the summer. There was also no difference for a 1-year-old versus a 16-year-old. And I think anybody with common sense will say that, you know, a 1-year-old should not have the same curfew as a 16-year-old. So what we were able to do was go back and amend the bill. So we made it so that in the time that it was school, kids that were 14 to 16 had a curfew of 10 p.m. and those under 14 had one of 9 p.m. And in the summertime, for the older kids, it reverts back to the old 11 p.m. and is earlier for the younger kids. But also, I think the key to our curfew and what makes our curfew unique is in a lot of cases, people were holding the parents criminally responsible. So, say, for example, I would go out and I was in Kansas City and the kid was out at 1 o'clock in the morning and the police picked him up and they did whatever they do. They had the ability and sometimes would arrest the parent. Well, if you arrest the parent, what do you think the kid's going to be the next night? Because there's going to be no one to watch the parent. So what we were able to do is amend our bill where we now are focusing in on holding the parents accountable via fine, but also focusing in on trying to refer those families to organizations and programs that could help them fix some of the issues that they're having. So if a 6-7-year-old kid is out there late at night, clearly that means there's something more problems going on at the home that the police can solve. So we now are able to refer people to organizations like the Family Tree of Maryland or the Center for Urban Families here in Baltimore, even recreational programs, and say, listen, if you guys take our advice and go to these programs, then you won't be subsequently fine. But if you don't, we're going to find you. And if your child comes back again, then we'll come with harsher penalties.
You know, some of these families, I would assume, are poor, don't have money to pay a fine. What about something like having to do community service with the offending child?
Yep. Community service is actually one of the options that we have as well. Community service is some option that we do use from time to time. But to be honest, that's very seldomly, and actually before I was elected, I was a staffer in the mayor's office, and we used to run the curfew. I used to actually run the curfew center. It's very seldomly that you see a repeat. Most of the time, once we go through the motions with the parent one time, you won't see that child again. But there are some cases where we have to do community service and other things, because even in a lot of cases, in most of those cases, it's not the parent, it's just that the child wants to be a knucklehead.
Can you talk more about the curfew center thing? I see the mayor has announced plans this according to the Baltimore Sun, to expand the city's curfew center to become two year-round youth connection centers for kids and teens who violate the curfew.
That's actually not new. So the connection centers are basically what came out of me changing the bill, so that the focus would no longer be working at that point with the previous mayor to do the things that we just talked about.
Gotcha.
So essentially what has been happening in Baltimore for the last 7 years now, we used to have just one in the summertime. What would happen is police pick up a kid. They come to, at that time, they would come to the school system headquarters. Now it's two recreation centers. They come in, they are interviewed, they get all their stuff proper, the process, but then this is the key to helping the children. They have to have the organizations there. First people they talk to is Baltimore City Schools Student Support. So then we can see if the child's been suspended, if we had interaction with the parent, if they on grade level, below grade level, need help, all those kind of things. Then if the child's under the age of 13, 12 and under, they automatically refer to Child Protective Services. We also have Department of Juvenile Services there. But the key is now, a few years ago, when we placed the connection centers at the recreation centers, we hired what we call youth connectors who are able to or trained to interview the children and get information out of them, recognize signs of different types of trauma, different kinds of issues coming on. And we've been able to help a lot of families that way. For example, I remember a young man back in 2014 who was like 10 years old, and he told our connector that, you know, his mom was a prostitute and they needed help. And we were able to get him and his family help because that young man came into that center. He's not going to walk into his school and say that. He's not going to walk mm-hmm. into his after-school program and say that. You have to have people who are specifically trained to do those kind of things, to interact with these young people. And Mayor Pugh says that she now wants to expand them to be year-long. And the key about these is also, this is a place where young people can actually choose to come themselves. So if they're at home or if they're out and no one's watching them, they can come there themselves, and then we can get them and then get the parents and hold them accountable, but also make the necessary referral.
There's some question as to whether curfews actually work. In an interview, one of your residents pointed out and said, if your kid is running around and doing home invasions, you're probably not going to be the parent to say, hey, you have to be home at 9 o'clock and stay in. That kid's not going to listen to you. You failed parenting already.
Yeah. And I think that what folks get a misconception about the kind of kids that come into these centers, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get the kid that comes into the home invasion is not gonna be a kid that gets caught by the police to come into the curfew center in the first place. Also, 9 times out of 10, a home invasion is not done by a kid. It's done by an adult in Baltimore City. I think that some of our residents have a waning sense of who's actually committing some of these crimes. Home invasions, for the most part, are committed by adults. So you're right. In those cases, they have. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't. A lot of these parents still will be held accountable, and they will try to do whatever to try to save that child or correct that child's action if possible. Now, we all know that not everyone can be saved, but people will be surprised with the parents of children who even do some heinous things will do. I actually remember an incident myself where two young men tried to rob me, and the dad called me and said, I need help with my son. I don't know what else to do. I don't want to be a bad father. It just seems that he's choosing to live this way of life. So I think the people would be surprised. But in all cases, you can't save young people or adults for that matter. And I think that is always a tough pill for people to swallow.
Councilman Brandon Scott, navigating some tough issues in Baltimore. Thanks for bringing some clarity to us this morning.
No problem. Thank you.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.